Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Psalm chapter 77 and verse 14. The word says, "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." How many know that we serve a Lord who does wonders?
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that response.
Yes.
But I'm just going to have to be myself today, and I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost here in this service right now. And Brother Ed, I want to tell you now, if I get any way out of order, you just come right up here, and I'll go back and sit on that front row. But from the moment I walked in this sanctuary today, I felt a spirit of heaviness. I felt something like a disappointment. I've been trying to feel through my spirit through this whole service to determine exactly what word the emotion is that I'm feeling so strong and so heavy in this atmosphere today. In fact, I was such a quandary, Brother Ed, of what exactly that word was that could perfectly describe it. And I began to search the dictionary to explain the word, and the word I came up with was resignation. I feel a spirit of resignation in this house this morning. Now, not like you resign from your job or you resign from your position, but resignation is when disappointment has taught you to stop expecting.
Come on now.
And that's what I feel here today.
And
I've never been in this building. I've never preached to most of you. And this is my good friend and his wife over here today. And I don't want to do anything out of order, but I've come to preach to a spirit that I feel here today. I'm going to preach toward an attitude and toward a spirit that I feel in the room today. And it's my prayer that before we leave in the next few minutes, as somebody's going to walk out of here with that heaviness lifted off of you, that faith is going to rise in this place. That God is just going to begin to restore something in your spirit. I don't know how you feel about it right now, but leaving differently is the way we need to happen at church. Leaving differently than the way we came. It's the attitude. It's the mindset. It's the proper response to the house of God. And I don't know who you are today and what you're dealing with, but I want to tell you, God is able to work miracles in your life today. God is able to touch you right where you are right now. The Lord is able to reach right to the point of your need and that embarrassment and that hurt and disappointment today. God wants to speak to it. So I've read to you today that the Lord we serve does wonders and has declared his strength among the people. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says this, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." What that tells me is this right here. Anything that the Bible says that God can do it here in this house today. I'm looking for the people that believe what the Word says. Anything that the Bible says that God can do, I believe He can do it here in this room today. There's a lot of amazing things. There's some extraordinary things that happen in the Bible, but I've come to tell you, if the Word said God can do it, I've got to believe He can do it here today. There's no cancer, there's no sickness, there's no deliverance that can't be had. Oh, there's no demon that can't be removed. There's no spirit that can't be cast off. I feel the Holy Ghost in power here today to speak to an attitude and speak to a resigned spirit today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's pray. Lord, your word is anointed, but anoint us right now. I pray in this house today, you just begin to lift faith in this place, Lord. Your ability is everlasting from everlasting. Lord, you have the answers. You hold the key. You are the miracle worker. The only thing out of place here today is whether or not we can still believe and expect that you're able. God, speak to us right now. I didn't come here today just to have some oratory, but I've come here to walk in your spirit and do what you would have us to do here today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of, come on, can we just worship him for a moment right now? Oh, can we just call on him for a moment right now? I can't pray the prayer for you. I want you to call out to the Lord right now. I can't speak it for you. I want you to call out to him. You clap your hands with the Lord as you're seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing come by the word.
Yes.
We live in a world today that's filled with reasons to despair. Every day brings another troubling report. War and violence and disease, addiction. We live in a day of broken families and uncertainty in finances, and suffering seems to have no explanation at times. We've watched so much go wrong that many people have begun to stop believing that things can turn around, that things can go right, that things can turn the way we need them to go. And somewhere along the way, our society has lost its expectation of the miraculous. Now, we still use the word miracle, but we have weakened its meaning. We say it. We use that word. We find a parking space when we're running late up close to the door, and we, oh, it's a miracle. We get a package, you know, the 17 Amazon packages you ordered this week, one came a day early. And, oh, it's a miracle. But these things that we call miracles, and what is actually a happy accident, is not a miracle. A miracle is something different.
Yes. Yes.
These kinds of things might be blessings. They might even be evidence of the providence of God and the kindness of the Lord in your life. But the Bible's definition of a miracle is much greater than a fortunate coincidence. While the word miracle remains in our vocabulary, genuine belief in miracles has faded from many hearts today. We become accustomed to explaining everything naturally. We become accustomed to finding an answer through science and medicine and solving everything technologically. If something cannot be explained or controlled or reproduced, our generation is struggling to believe that it can happen today. And I fear that that same spirit of our society, that same mindset of our society has seeped into the church many times. And we come and we go through the motions and we go through the mechanics and we play the same number of songs and we receive an offering and we even come down front for prayer, a few people every service. But are we really still in the place where we can have faith to believe that God can really do anything? Hallelujah. Do we really believe that scripture that says nothing is too hard for God? Do we believe that scripture that says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him? But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Scripture introduces us to a God who is not confined to what can be explained. And you see, a Bible miracle is a supernatural act of God that interrupts the ordinary course and reveals his extraordinary power. A miracle from God is not something that can be explained. A miracle from God is not something that can be taught through a book or a class. A miracle from God is not something you can get a degree or initials to go behind your name that will give you the authority to explain it. A miracle from God is like the sea standing up like walls. It's fire falling from heaven. It's It's blinded eyes open and the lame walking again. It's crippled legs receiving strength. It's a dead man walking out of a tomb. A miracle is God stepping into the humanly impossible and demonstrating what cannot be done by man can still be done by God. I wonder if there's anybody here today that believes that can happen in your life. Is there anybody here today that believes that what can't be done by man, God can still do it in your life. God can still do it in your family. God can still do it in your home. And despite the despair in our world today, and despite the skepticism of our generation and the fading expectation of the supernatural, I've come to declare a simple truth today in response to what I feel in the house. I've come to declare to you very simply that miracles still happen. That's the whole point right there. There's going to be no great revelation. The point is simply this: miracles still happen, and I believe in the next few minutes you're going to believe it again. I have faith in the next few minutes you're going to walk out of here with a trust and a renewed faith in the Lord that a miracle can happen in my life. A deliverance can come in my life. We don't worship a God who used to be powerful. We don't worship a God who just provides us with great literature and great narrative stories of things that happened in the past that were mind-blowing and unexplained. Hebrews 13 says he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. His methods may vary and his timing may change. It belongs to him, but his nature has not changed. The nature of God is that he's a creative word in his mouth, and he is the ability to do miracles today. His power has not diminished. His compassion has not decreased. I want to tell somebody, his strength has not weakened. His hand is not too short that he can't reach into your situation and into your life today. I want somebody to rise in faith and believe. I may have had doubt in my mind, but I believe miracles can still happen. We serve a wonder-working God. Can you say amen? The first words of Scripture introduce us to a miracle-working God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Before Moses ever lifted a rod, before one prophet ever spoke a word, before an apostle ever laid hands on anyone who would recover, God was already working wonders. He spoke light into darkness. He gathered the seas. He brought life from the earth. He formed humanity from the dust of the very ground. And creation proves that God is not limited by what already exists. God is not trapped inside the boundaries of things that exist already, but he can begin to speak that which was not there into existence. He can speak into emptiness and create something from the nothing that's there. The God that said, "Let there be light." Light. I want to tell you, he can still speak light today into your situation. The God that said, "Let there be light." Hallelujah. He can shine a light into your brokenness today, into the darkness of your mind. He is able to still speak it today. God preserved Noah's family in an ark. God opened up Hagar's eyes to water a well in the desert. Before there was ever a human instrument that God would work through, there was a sovereign God that was declaring, "I am able. I am that I am. I am able to do." Hallelujah. The miracle doesn't begin with the vessel. The miracle begins with the Lord. Praise God. God doesn't need any of us to work a miracle. But sometimes we see, as Scripture unfolds, God reveals another dimension of the miraculous. I want to speak to you today that there is a progression of the miraculous in Scripture. It all begins with him. He's the source. It all begins with him and he alone who has power and authority. But God reveals that he chooses to work his works through surrendered people. When Israel was trapped between Pharaoh and the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, the Lord told Moses, he said, "Lift up thy rod and stretch forth thine hand over the sea and divide it." Moses lifted the rod but it was God who sent the wind. Moses stretched out his hand, but God divided the sea. Moses obeyed, but God performed the miracle. The rod had no power. Moses had no power of his own. The power belonged to God, but God released it through man's obedience. I believe the Lord is looking for somebody today that'll be willing to stand in the gap and just be obedient for a while. Someone who will just believe in the face of all doubt. Somebody who would just believe. Someone in the face of a diagnosis, in the face of what the enemy's report is today. Someone who's going to say, I believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to stand with the word of God. I'm going to trust in the word of the Lord. I'm going to stand there and allow God to work through my obedience. Hallelujah. Through Moses, the Bible tells us that Egypt was humbled and manna appeared from the sky. Water came from a rock. Israel crossed the sea. Through Joshua, the Bible teaches that the Jordan stopped and stood and it stopped moving forward. The Bible tells us that the city of Jericho, those walls fell down. Through Elijah, provision multiplied. Fire falls from heaven. A child is raised from the dead. Through Elisha, we see an axe head floating and Naaman was cleansed after dipping seven times. And the Shunammite's son was raised from death. God shut the lion's mouth for Daniel, and he preserved the three Hebrew boys in a furnace heated up seven times hotter. The fire burned their bonds, but it couldn't burn their bodies because there was a fourth man in the fire with them on that day. And when they emerged, they did not even smell like smoke. Hallelujah. There's a pattern here. There's an established pattern in the Old Testament. God, he works sovereignly. Hallelujah. But he also works through people who believe his word and obey his instruction. Hallelujah. The vessel might be ordinary, just like you and I, but the God working through that vessel is extraordinary. What am I saying today? What is this preacher saying? I'm saying God is looking for somebody to work through. God is looking for somebody to operate through. God is looking for somebody to have faith and to believe there's a way when there seemeth to be no way. Are you that person today? Are you the one who can believe? Are you the one who can show up to that block party on October 3rd and believe that the next wave of revival for this restoration church is coming? Somebody who can step up to the plate and say, I don't have a lot. I don't have the ability, but I trust in God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. I'm going to take about 2 minutes right now and let's worship the Lord. Take a few moments right now and call on him. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants to restore someone's faith here today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got more to say, but the Lord is looking for faithful right now. I've got more to speak, but the Lord is looking for the surrendered. He's looking for those that want to surrender and be obedient to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you who I'm speaking to right now? It don't have to be those that have everything going together. It doesn't have to be those who are not sick. It doesn't have to be those who are not facing financial issues. It doesn't have to be those who have a perfect life situation and a perfect marriage and a perfect home. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience. God is not looking for those that have it all worked out. He's looking for those that say, I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, let me give you a word of revelation right now. Nobody can trust the Lord like those who have broken situations. Nobody can trust the Lord like those that don't have it all together but are able to still say, I believe that God is able. I believe that God. Somebody stand and say that right now. I believe that God is able. I believe that God is able. Somebody who's hurting, say it. I believe God is able. Somebody who's broken today, say, I believe God is able. I speak to every depression. I speak to every anxiety. I speak to every fear right now. I speak to every spirit of insignificance and intimidation in this house and every resigned spirit to tell you, if you'll rise and place your faith and declare your faith in the Lord today, he wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We come to the New Testament and we see the miraculous reaches its most clearest expression. Hallelujah, because the God who worked for his people, the God who worked through people in the Old Testament, he came to work among his people. And the Bible tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifest in the flesh. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is not merely another prophet whom through God worked. In Jesus Christ, the invisible God was revealed in flesh. Hallelujah. And it's no wonder that miracles happened everywhere he went, because as much as he was man, he was God. As much as he was flesh, he was divine. And Jesus, he walked on the water. He turns water into wine. He stills the storm. He multiplies the loaves and fishes. He cleansed the lepers. The lame walk. The deaf hear. Oh, the crippled legs are restored to their strength. Hallelujah. And he delivered those that were tormented. He took Jairus' daughter by the hand and told her to arise. He stops a funeral procession and he returns a widow's son to her alive. He stood before Lazarus' tomb that's already been mentioned today. And after 4 days being dead, three words snatched a man's soul back from eternity, and death released what it had taken. Lazarus came forth from that tomb. His miracles, I want to tell you, the miracles of Jesus Christ, they were not entertainment. They were not for show. They revealed his identity. They revealed his compassion. The miracles of Jesus Christ, they revealed that he is God and God alone, and he is able. But they also revealed that that God who is God alone loves people, and he cares about people. He cares about those that are dealing with things and going through things and facing adversity. And that same God who walked the streets in the New Testament, he's here in this room right now, and he's still got all power in his hand. He's still got the authority, and he still loves you. He still cares about you. He cares about you if your diagnosis is unexplainable, and whether it's just as simple as the flu. He loves you enough to minister to you and deliver you from your sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Some here today, someone might say, yes, 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 but that was Jesus. But Jesus promised that his work would continue through his church. Yeah, that was Jesus. That was him. But he also said, greater things than these shall you do. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We know and understand that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost filled ordinary men and women with the Spirit of God. And that same Jesus who had worked miracles among them, oh, for those last 3.5 years, he began to work miracles through them. Hallelujah. Because God was not just now manifest in flesh, but God was indwelling the flesh of the early church. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful today that in Acts chapter 3, that Peter and John, they encountered a man who was lame from birth. And Peter declared, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Strength entered his feet, and strength came into his ankles, and he went into the temple. The Bible says he was walking and leaping and praising God. I'm thankful that in the book of Acts chapter 5, multitudes were healed. Miracles, hallelujah, came after Philip's preaching. Peter prayed and Dorcas lived. An earthquake opened the prison doors for Paul and Silas. Eutychus fell down and was risen again. Hallelujah. Publius, his father, was healed. This is all in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. I've come to tell you that the ascension of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, it was not the end of the miraculous. It began the miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit-filled church. Hallelujah. Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, and rose again. But when he left, hallelujah, there was a continuation of the miraculous through the early church, through the early church. And I've come to tell somebody, there's no amen at the end of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We are still in the book of Acts. We are still living in the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles of 2026. Hallelujah. It's the Acts of the Apostles of Athens is what I believe here today. It's the Acts of the Apostles for this community and this church. Hallelujah. I wonder if somebody letting faith rise just yet. I wonder if there's anybody who's letting faith rise. I wonder if there's anybody in the house who's ready to look that despair in the face, look that discouragement in the face and say, I believe, I still believe that God can work a miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is still being poured out today. Hallelujah. The same gospel that was preached on that day is still being preached today. And I've come to tell you, miracles are still happening now the way they happened then. Come on, clap your hands if you believe it right now. Hallelujah. I'm not at a loss for words. I'm just allowing faith to breathe here in this place right now. Because I believe the Lord wants to do a work here today. I don't know if a blind eye is going to be open in this room today, but I do know, I already feel in the Holy Ghost, that a wounded spirit is going to be healed here today. I believe that there's going to be a restoration of faith in somebody's life today. I don't need God to work a miracle here today for my benefit, but what I do need to happen is you to walk out of this place with your faith in Him restored, because there's somebody in your life right now that needs you to be full of faith. There's somebody in your life right now that needs you to be walking in the Spirit and trusting in God all over again. And I fear what I felt in my spirit today is that somebody in this room today, your faith has fallen and you've had too much disappointment, and that disappointment has taught you not to really expect anything to happen. But can I tell you, there's a wave of revival coming for Restoration Apostolic Church, and you need to be a part of it. It's not going to come through some gimmick or through some kind of church growth plan. It's going to come from people of God who are yielded to the Spirit of God and are working in faith, believing that God can do the miraculous. Oh, come on, somebody hear me right now. We can read all the books. We can go to all the conferences. We can go to all the seminars. But there is nothing in this world more powerful than a testimony of somebody who has yielded themselves in obedience to the Lord. I got to confess to you today that I don't believe in miracles because the Bible says there's miracles. I don't even believe in miracles because Jesus worked miracles. That's all part of it. It's part of the backstory. But I believe in miracles today. Let me just rephrase that. I don't believe in miracles. I know in miracles. See, some people believe and some people know. Some people believe a thing can happen and others know things can happen. You see, I'm on the other side of this line today, and I know there's some with me, and there's going to be more before this day is over. I don't believe in miracles. I know that miracles happen. Because I've seen too many miracles happen to be disproved. Hallelujah. I've seen too many miracles happen for anybody to tell me that a miracle cannot happen. I've seen so many miracles happen, I'm not even upset when God doesn't work a miracle. Hallelujah. Because the power and the validity and the legitimacy of my God has been proven so many times. I was just 4.5 years old when a tragedy struck our church, and struck it in the form of me bodily. I was playing outside. They had pushed an 80-foot-tall pine tree down. It was laying across our parking lot. They were cutting the limbs and the roots off of it. And I wasn't supposed to be out there, but I had gotten back out there anyway. And when Brother Hubert Tyler cut that trunk of that tree loose from the roots, they had all sort of assumed that that tree was going to just drop straight down. But it didn't do that. For some reason, it torqued and it lurched and it moved over. It kind of popped up in the air. It's almost like it snapped up, and when it moved over, it came down about 12 or 15 feet away from where it was originally at. And when it fell down, it fell right across my back where I was crouching down on the ground with my knees in the dirt. It crushed my body to the ground. Most of this I can't remember, but a few things I do. But it crushed my body completely to the ground. My body was pulverized. My left leg was snapped beneath the weight of my body in that tree. and there was so many things happening right now. There was blood everywhere. There was blood pushing through the pores of my skin. But immediately God began to, there wasn't even a prayer meeting that happened. Immediately God began to move. Two men, Gene Goodine and Eugene Bryant, got on either side of me, and they just reached down and grabbed that tree and started lifting it. And amazingly, it came up off of my body. One of them held it, and the other pulled me out. They pulled me out to a bloody mess laying there on the ground. No pulse, no air in my lungs. Minutes were passing, and everybody didn't know what to do. My dad had got trapped in the tree limbs. It had caught him there, and he finally got to me, and he saw the condition I was in. There was no breath. The next-door neighbor to the church was a retired EMT. They had called him. He was coming that way. And as he got over there, he's touching my body. He's trying to find any kind of proof that I'm still alive. And my dad, who was there trying to pastor this church and trying to speak faith to these people, he pulled his baseball hat off and he threw it to the ground. He began to declare. He said, God, you're not taking my boy today. They began to pray. And as they began to pray the prayer of faith, my body began to jerk as breath came back into my lungs and the pulse was restored. Hallelujah. That neighbor, Mr. Stitch, he said, don't wait for the ambulance to come. If you wait for the ambulance to come, he will be dead. They threw me into a car. It was the newest car that was there. It was a brand new Honda Civic in something like 1981, 82. They threw me in that car, started driving me the 20-minute drive to the hospital, Cape Fear Valley. On the way, that brand new car, less than 2 weeks old, the electrical system completely failed in it. No lights, no blinkers, no emergency flashers. They were just riding along just a motor with nothing else. Oh, the windows didn't work. The lights didn't work. My dad was having to jump out at intersections and wave cars down so they could get through. People say the devil was trying to kill me. I don't give the devil no credit. I don't think he's smart enough for that. But I want to tell you that there was something happening that day. The miraculous was happening that day. Hallelujah. At one of those intersections, my dad tells a story that he got out and he waved the cars down and they got through and he jumped back in the car. And it was a tense moment. And in the back seat, Gene Goodine was holding my leg together. He was holding my body. And he would tell the story that there was just skin, flaps of skin, holding the two pieces of my broken leg together. But when my dad got back in that car, he tells a story that I lifted up my head and I opened up my eyes and said, Daddy, everything is going to be okay. And when I said that, Gene Goodine, who was a backslider, started speaking in tongues again in the back seat. God refilled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we got to that hospital. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you the whole story this morning, but 18 days later, I walked out of that hospital on my own two feet with a leg that God had completely healed. You can take an x-ray of this leg right now. You're not going to be able to find any proof that it was ever broken because God is a healer. And I stand here today to preach this message to you. I don't believe in miracles. I know miracles happen because I am a miracle. My life don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. I'm looking you right in the eye to tell you right now, believe again, trust the Lord again, and know that God is able. I was just a teenager in Spring Lake, North Carolina. We knocked on the door on outreach, Saturday outreach one morning, and a lady came to church. Her daughter brought her. She wheeled her in on a wheelchair. This lady, her whole left side of her body was completely contorted. She'd had a stroke, completely disfigured her. She'd lost feeling and control of the left side of her body. Left side of her face was drooping down. She came to that service. Power of God moved. She came to the altar, and they prayed for her. I don't have time for every detail, but they prayed for her. And she began to feel something happening. And she felt her arm moving that had been powerless. And she began to take a step of faith. And she lurched out of that wheelchair. When she stood up, she found strength in her body she hadn't had before. And then she got baptized. And when she got baptized, she come out of that water. They had lowered her in when they put her out. They took her out of that baptismal pool. When she got out of it, she started running laps around the church. God had completely healed her. She was running laps around the church. It was so amazing. People had never seen anything like that before. This lady ran. We had left and went to get lunch and come back. She was still there at the church with a group of people praising and worshiping God with her. I believe she ran the length of that church for about 2 hours that day because she had been in a wheelchair for more than a year, and God had healed her body. God had healed her and restored her. We kept that wheelchair around the church for the next 20 years. It might still be there somewhere, but God's a healer. There was a lady, her name was Bernadine Battle. She attended our church. She was in the military. This is back in the early 90s. If you're young enough to be a teenager in the early 90s, you'll know that back in the 90s, we thought the AIDS epidemic was going to be the pandemic, the end of the world. We quit worried about cancer and leukemia and all of that. Everybody was worried about AIDS. Yeah. Famous people started catching AIDS. We thought the world was ending. Well, Bernadine Battle got diagnosed with AIDS. But in one of those church services, the Lord put his hand on her, touched her, and healed her body from AIDS. Now, a lot of people have never believed this. You might not believe it when I tell you today, because, you know, people are living with AIDS for a long time nowadays. But let me tell you this. Bernadine Battle, she wasn't just a regular lady. She was in the Army. And the U.S. Army had control over her, as it often does. The U.S. Army saw that she no longer had AIDS in her body. And so the U.S. Army started her on a system and routine. Every couple of months, they sent her to Walter Reed Hospital and did another battery of tests on her. And it kept coming back, no AIDS. It kept coming back, no AIDS. Years went by, and it kept coming back, no AIDS. But they kept making her go back because they had positive proof that she had been infected with AIDS, and they knew she had AIDS. And now that she no longer had AIDS, they were looking for the reason and the cure and the reason why. They couldn't imagine that it was God that did a work that could be unexplained. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, even when she reached the time of her retirement to get out of the military, when she reached her renewal date, they kept making her go. They use different policies that the Army has. They kept her in the Army longer than she wanted to be because they had to keep sending her back to that hospital to try to prove over and over again that maybe the AIDS was coming back, and it never did. God healed her body, and the medical field proved that it was healed. That wasn't their motive, but all they could find out that what God was still a healer. 6 months later, he's still healing people of AIDS. 6 months later, he's still healing people. I've come to tell someone here today, God's a healer. Just a few years ago, a young lady got married. It was one of those girls on our trip. We went to Botswana. I was there at the wedding at the church that day. And my two little boys, they were getting rowdy, so I left. At the end of the wedding, the reception was going on. I was getting them boys out of there. I went around the corner to where our van was, and the van was nearby, and there was a commotion over there, a bunch of people standing around this little old car. And I put the boys in the car. I turned the air conditioner on. I walked over to see what was going on. And there was a lady sitting in that car. And I'm telling you right now, she looked as gray as that carpet. She was probably in her 80s. And I'm telling you right now, as an old comedian used to say, in my opinion, she was graveyard dead. I mean, she was gone. And they pulled her out. They laid her down on the ground. Someone found a sheet. And I was walking up to see all this happen. There was people around, and there were several people in that church who were in the medical field, a couple of RNs, and they started working on her. And they was laying there. There was nothing. They were checking the pulse, the hands, the neck. They were doing everything. They started giving CPR. They were pumping the chest, and they were doing all that. And I had walked up on all this, kind of seeing it all in one take, you know, what's happening here. And I gathered what was going on. I looked over there. There was two preachers standing there. And I hate to be unkind. I don't mean to be unkind. But I looked at them and said, has anybody prayed? And they looked like they forgot what they were doing. And I mean, I wasn't upset about it, but I said, has anybody prayed? And it kind of shocked them back to reality. They said, no, no. Well, by this time, they were down on the gravel on the ground. And everybody was around her. I couldn't reach her. And so I figured, if I'm praying, I'm laying hands. I'm not going to stand over here on the sidelines. And here I got down at this in my wedding suit, Brother Ed. I got down on the gravel, and I reached through like this. And look at them two old guys. I said, y'all need to pray. They put their hands on my back. And I stuck my hand between the legs of people,
She was laying with her feet that way, and all I could do, I could grab the top of her head. I grabbed her head like that, and I just started praying in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, put your hand on her right now. You know, we need you to touch her body. And as I began to pray, Ricky Simpson, who was one of the nurses, he looked up at me and he said, keep on doing that. So I kept on praying. And I kept looking up, and he kept doing this right here. And the longer I prayed, the more life came in her body. I want to tell you, the power of God moved. In about 30 seconds, she was sitting up. A couple minutes later, the ambulance came. They put her in the back of that ambulance. She didn't even lay down on the gurney. She was sitting on the edge of the on the ambulance like a kid with her feet swinging in the breeze. She didn't even let them take her to the hospital. The Lord completely touched her life and renewed her body. That 80-some-year-old woman lived two more years before she died. And I want to tell you, God worked a miracle that day. Nobody can take that away. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody here today, God works miracles for the young. He works miracles for the old. He works miracles for everybody. He's no respecter of person. You can have your miracle today. Hallelujah. Brother Ed and Sister Candy, they've been to Spring Lake a number of times. Probably every time you came there, we ate at that Mexican restaurant called El Tucan. Oh, Arturo's the owner there. We've been friends for 30 years now. Arturo has started coming to church. The reason Arturo's coming to church is because his young daughter, she was 15 years old, she got cancer a couple years ago. At about the age of 13, from through the age of 15, she was dealing with cancer. They were giving her all kinds of treatment, all kinds of medical problems. Arturo started coming to church faithfully. He closed his store on Sundays. His whole family was there at church, lining up the pews. And last year, in the year 2025, we had been praying for her and praying for her. Many services went by where we laid hands on her, but she went back to the doctor, and they said she has no cancer in her body. It's been verified two more times since then. That young lady was in church last Sunday. She was shouting. She was lifting her hand. She was praising God. She's so excited to be alive. She's so thankful for the life that's in her body. I want to tell you, God still heals people from cancer. The Lord healed my mother more than 15 years ago of breast cancer. She's still alive today, doing fine. No cancer in her body. I want to tell you, God is able. Hallelujah. There's a young lady in our church. Her name is Treva. And Sister Candy can come. I'm gonna end here in a few minutes, or whoever wants to come. It was about 3 months ago on a Monday night prayer meeting. She said, I've got tests tomorrow because I'm losing vision in my eye. Didn't know why it was. She went and had the test done the next day. And they kept her in the hospital, never let her go home. They said, there's a tumor the size of a golf ball. It's in your brain. It's pressing up against your optic nerve. That's why you're losing sight. Her name is Treva Griffith. You can meet her. She's at my church right now. We begin to pray. They plan to do surgery on Thursday. That's how quickly it was. At UNC Chapel Hill. I was involved in a court case that week. A family in our church, their son was murdered several years ago, brutally murdered. And I was sitting in a courtroom in Johnson County, an hour and a half away, every single day that week. And I was going back from the courtroom to the hospital praying for her. Well, we prayed and we fasted. And on that Thursday, just before the time of the surgery, they did the final exams and the final test. And they let Treva, her mother, know. They said, we are going to go ahead with the surgery. It's risky, but if we don't do it, you're going to die. Only problem is where it's located, it's so entangled with those nerves and that optic nerve. We can't get it all. We're going to get everything we can get. So the Lord worked a great work at that courtroom. And on that Thursday afternoon, in the face of what seemed like it wasn't going to happen, there was a whole miracle I don't have time to tell you about, how God, he changed the course of that. That trial went the way it needed to go. Justice was served. We were thanking God for that. We drove full of faith to that hospital. And the surgery started just before my wife and I got there. We actually started a couple hours before. But it was coming to a close right after we got there. We had no longer been in that waiting room with her mother and some friends of theirs, her niece. And the doctor called the family back, and being a pastor, they allowed me to go with them. We're in this room, and this doctor, I'd never met him. It's all happened so fast, but he came in that room, and first thing he did was he sat down, and I thought that was weird. They're trying to find the outcome of the surgery, but he sat down, and this dude was so hyper. His leg was bouncing like this. He looked like he was on crack cocaine. He was just, he was like the Energizer Bunny. He was literally, he had no dignity. He had no composure. And the whole family was there. And he said, "We got it all." He was just so excited. And I remember thinking, well, this doesn't seem like a typical situation. I mean, normally they're all well-spoken and articulate. He says, his leg is just a bounce and he's shaking. He says, "We got it all. We got every bit of it." He said, "The surgery went so well. It's perfect." He stood up and he said, "She's already in recovery." He said, "You can go see her in about 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, brain surgery? You can go see her in 15 minutes from brain surgery? 15 minutes later, we walked in the room where Treva was sitting. She was sitting up in that bed. We walked in the room, and when Randy and I walked in the room, she said, I can already see. Her sight had come back immediately. They took that tumor out. Not only was the tumor gone, her eyesight came back. She said, "I can read the picture on the wall." She started reading the stuff on the wall. It didn't mean nothing to nobody, but she was so excited that she could read the words on the wall 10 feet away. She said, "I can see." Tears were coming down her eyes. The Holy Ghost came in that room. The nurse didn't know how to act. We began to praise God and thank the Lord. I want to tell you, after about 1 week of recovery, she hadn't missed a service since. And last Sunday, she was in the house of God, thanking and praising the Lord. Anybody hear what I'm saying today? A month ago, I'll tell you this one last thing. A month ago, a new family in our church, new converts, Adrian McLean, his wife. There was no fanfare. There was nothing special, no special prayer. I was so distracted even, I didn't make a big deal about it, but I preached, ended the service, prayed the prayer. I stepped off the platform just about right here, and they came up to me, and I could tell that there was something wrong. And Adrian said, "Can we talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." They got a baby on the way. It's due in a couple of months. And they said, "We got some bad news." They ran reports this week or tests, and they found that the baby's been diagnosed with, I want to say it's called trisomy 13. I don't even know what that is. Never heard of that before. I looked it up. It's some kind of a genetic mutation. And what it means is if the baby is even born alive, it's probably not going to live but about a year, and it's going to die. And so right there, there was, you know, the whole church was already dismissed. They were moving around. I did all I knew how to do, Brother Peacock. I said, "Well, let's just pray." I grabbed the oil, grabbed somebody. I might have had another minister pray. I don't even remember now. It was so, I don't know how you would describe it. It was just so casual. Was a need, I prayed. Just lay hands on them, prayed right there. They left. 2 weeks after that, they caught me in the lobby on the way out. And I said, "Hey, how's everything going?" And she said, "They did another test. It's still showing up." I said, "Well, let's pray again." I took them by the hand right there in the lobby, people walking around. I just prayed for them again. We didn't send out a prayer request to the church. Maybe I should have. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, this was just all in motion. And, you know, a lot of times when people have a need, where they reach out to the pastor, it's a big deal. They send an email. They want to meet with you. This was just so casual. And, I took it seriously. But it wasn't like there was no faith healer came to town. There was no prayer healing line, nothing like that. It was just two simple prayers without a big crowd. I prayed for them in the lobby, and they went. The next week, they came. And I'm telling you, they caught me in that same spot. The spot a month ago they caught me in, where they told me that baby had that diagnosis. And they walked up and said, "Pastor, we got some good news." They came back and they said, "All those tests were false positive. The baby is fine. There's nothing wrong. All the tests are clear. They can't find nothing wrong with this baby." We shouted the glory of God, and last Sunday we celebrated in the church. There's another baby on the way, and the church is growing. We thank God for it. I want to tell somebody here, as you stand with me,
I'm speaking to that spirit, that resigned spirit. Ask the sound man afterward. I didn't intend to preach this today. Had no plans of preaching this message until I became confronted with that spirit of heaviness that I felt here. The resignation that disappointment has taught you not to expect anything to happen. I might have told three too many stories here today, but these are true stories that have happened to me. If they've happened to me, they can happen to you. If they've happened to me, they can happen to you. These testimonies don't mean that we in the church are better than those that are still waiting for an answer. We don't control God. We don't reduce his miracles to some kind of a technique. The Bible says that Paul had a thorn that was not removed. The Bible said Timothy experienced ongoing infirmity because faith does not deny reality and prayer does not manipulate God. He's not Aladdin's lamp. He's not a genie in a bottle. God is sovereign. But unanswered prayers must never cause us to stop asking God to do a work. We pray today because God told us to pray. God did not say work miracles. God did not say figure it out. God just said pray. I've asked you to pray. That's our role. That's our job. That's what you and I can do. We pray and we can pray in faith. We lay hands on the sick because Jesus told us to do that. We anoint with oil because James chapter 5 commands us to do that. We trust in God's wisdom while still believing in his power. If he heals instantly, we're going to praise him. If he works through a doctor, we're going to praise him. If he gives us sustaining grace to hold on with the issue while we wait, we're going to praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to answer him. Even if it's not what we wanted, we're going to trust him. But we're never going to reduce our theology of miracles to the level of disappointment. He is still God. He's still good, and he's still able.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.